Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us on this first Sunday of May, the first Sunday after General Conference. Talk more about that in the sermon. For now, we're glad you've joined us both in person and online. Please stand as you're able for opening hymns.
The grace and God of glory, your Hello, hello. So if there are any children that want to join us up on the steps, we're going to have our children's moment before we head off to Children's Church. All right. I have the exciting quad group of girls that are going to help us remember some things that we've been talking about in Children's Church lately. So listen up. Let me have your attention. We've been talking about all the things that you need to live in life in Children's Church. Who can remember one of the four things we've already talked about? Everybody needs, Lila Bell.
Air.
Air is one of them that we've been talking about. Very good. What's another one? Everybody needs, what do we need for life though? Everybody needs, we need air, we need, what are some things we need?
Food and water.
Food and water. And there's one more. Everyone look up. That'll help. That'll give you a clue. Yes.
Shelter.
Lila Bell, you've been listening in Children's Church. That's amazing. So yes, we all need air, food, water, and shelter. Now, today we're talking about something new, and I want to see if you can guess what it is, and here are some clues. Everybody listening? It's friends, it's family, it's loved ones, it's church. What is the other thing that we all need to live? And I just gave you some clues. Anybody? What do you think, Emily?
Life.
Life is going to be the answer eventually. Life, yes. But life in the form of people. We all need people. We need a community. And so that's what we're going to start talking about today. Tell me who is one of your best friends. Raise your hand and tell me if you have a best friend.
Charlotte, because she once came to our church.
Oh, very nice. Very good. Who else, Emily?
Charlotte and Marilyn and Lila Bell.
So nice. Olivia and Maya, you have a best friend that you want to tell us about?
Mine's my sister.
Your sister. So nice.
Mine is my sister.
I was going to say, you have to say your sister. Yeah, that's good. Perfect. Well, I'm excited that today we're going to be talking about that. We will be in Grant Hall. Parents, when we're finished, we'll be there together, and we'll be talking about community and our needs for community. So let's pray, and then we'll head off to Children's Church. Creator God, thank you for providing all the things that we need for life. And in this galaxy and all of the solar systems that you have put together, the perfect creation to give us air and water and food and shelter. And today, as we begin talking about the people and the community that we need, help us to be a place, this church to be a community for anyone who walks in the doors of this church. And that we would be looking for those who may not know anyone, who might be a first-timer. Help us to welcome an extended hand and to invite folks to be part of this community doing your work in this part of the world. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, and as we head off to the Children's Church, I invite you to stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I forgot what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And before you sit down, just wave up to the production crew up there and all the people online. We miss you. Like I said, I'm saving you front row seats right here. All right. As we move into a time of prayer, let's just take a moment, sit back, take some deep breaths. And let's listen to our chancel choir as they lead us into a time of prayer.
Oh,
Let us pray. Creator God, we come before you today on this Communion Sunday with hearts of gratitude for all that you have provided. We stand at the beginning of a new month, a new week, full of unknowing opportunities and fresh beginnings. We humbly seek your direction and guidance as we bring our praises and the concerns of our hearts to you, knowing you will listen. Today we lift up the prayers of our church family. We pray for Diana, Tony, Ricky, Kat, and Ryan. Continued prayers for Ruth, Kevin, Emily, and Lori, and for all of those needing healing of mind, body, and spirit. We pray for those who are struggling and feeling uneasy. In seasons of change, may we seek your guidance with patience as you surround us in your love. Please gift us with your comfort and strength as we discern our next steps. Lord, we also pray for peace and hope for those who are suffering from war and violence all around the world. Please let them feel your presence. We pray for the end of war and senseless death. God, please rise up transformed hearts, turning adversaries into peacemakers, that they may work together for positive and lasting resolutions. Today, we also thank you for what has happened at the United Methodist Church General Conference this year. We offer our gratitude and praises for historic changes to how the UMC treats their LGBTQIA+ family. And now may our denomination be able to live more fully into our inclusive and affirming call to meet people exactly where they are and who they are without exception. Knowing you're always walking closely with us, may we now individually lift up to you what is on our hearts in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, thank you that we are able to be here today as a church family gathered together to worship you. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. Please fill us with your Spirit so that we may feel your presence with us as we go about this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Sunday morning, church family. How you doing today? Hey, Linda. Wonderful to see all your smiling faces. Hey, let's check in real quick before I forget. I always forget. Let's check in. Go ahead and put your scan that with your phone. Put your name in there. Let us know you're here today. If you have a prayer request, you can also put that in there, and we grab those every Monday, and the pastoral team prays over those throughout the week. And if you are new, and this is your first time here, I just want to say a special welcome. Thank you for sharing your day with us. And also, if you come back to the gym, come to the welcome table, see me or Kevin, and we have a little welcome bag for you. That'll be right after church. If you haven't grabbed one already, in the pew pocket in front of you, there is an event flyer of the things coming up. These are the bigger events coming up through August. We'll have more events, but these are some of that we want to get on your calendar, so grab that. And today, one of our events that we're doing is we're building blessing bags in the gym, and we need as many hands as possible to make 500 bags. It's kind of like a conveyor belt. We go down at the tables and make the bags. It's a lot of fun. We'll have some music in there. The stage is open for the Back to the Future gym, so you can take some pictures if you'd like. But Right after church today, we're going to either take these stairs or right to your left, up. It goes right to the gym, or you can go around the courtyard and get to the gym that way as well. A couple things coming up this week. May 9th starts a new small group with Pastor Mark from Harmony. It's called Finding Balance, and it's a small group that meets on Zoom Thursdays at 7 for the next couple of months. So if you'd like to know more about that, see me at the table after church. And then May 11th, who likes pancakes? I do. Anyone? Pancakes? Okay. So Harmony as well is looking for a few more volunteers to help out at the pancake breakfast that supports the Fireman's Fund at Firehouse Station 86, right in Toluca Lake. It's about 3 miles over the hill. I've done this many times because I live very close to it, and you also get some free pancakes. So it's a fun event. They raise money for the Fireman's Fund, and we could use some extra people. So does it say it up there? All you have to do is email mark@hollywoodumc.org if you're interested in participating. There's a couple shifts in the morning on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so we are having our annual brunch here, and we're going to celebrate all of the motherly figures in our lives. And also, we're asking if you would bring a picture of your mom to place on the altar during church. If you happen to have one, you could share that with us that day. Just remember to take it home. I still have pictures from last year of people's moms, so anybody missing a picture, let me know. And then June 9th, we are celebrating LA Pride this year, and we need a lot of people on the bus and some people to help do the decorating of the bus. So let us know at the welcome table, me or Kevin, if we can get you on the list. And we're going to have a great time June 9th as we celebrate all God's people out on Hollywood Boulevard. All right, a lot of things happening. We'd love to have you get involved, so take one of these home. And you know, all of these things that we plan and do and the events that we are able to have here all come from you. With your presence and your prayers and your volunteering and your service and also your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do the work here to build this beloved community here in Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you.
Surrounds the deepest waters, your sun. reading from the book of Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that life, that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
There's a gray river of doubt between my head and my heart. They say seeing is believing, but I only see myself reflected in the currents of the great unknown. I need a savior to carry my head and heart on.
Today we continue our Eastertide sermon series, Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith, based on a book of the same name by Adam Hamilton. Often we treat our doubts as the enemy of faith, but uncertainty does not mean that our belief is lacking. Doubt can be a path to a deeper and richer encounter with God. Over the past few weeks, we haven't just wrestled with doubt, but we've wrestled with the concept of hell, the reality of heaven, and today we are wrestling with the question of why there is suffering in the world if we have a loving God, and then how we respond to hearing of the suffering of another, which is typically, we might say, everything happens for a reason. You see, it's human nature to try and make sense of bad or difficult things that happen. We want to give comfort to those who are hurting in the present, give them hope that the future will be brighter. And there are ways to do that, but not with that phrase, or with some of its cousins, like, it must have been their time, or it was part of the plan, or the biggie, it must have been God's will. And our scripture lesson from Deuteronomy helps to inform us why these are not appropriate responses. Standing on the far side of the Jordan, Moses is preparing to give his last sermon to his people. He knows he's not going with them to the promised land. They will now be led there by Joshua. The Israelites had just emerged from the rule of a brutal dictator. They'd wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they were now standing on the shores of the promised land. It was a second chance. It was a new day for their people. And so on this momentous occasion, Moses preaches a fiery message to his people, ending with the exhortation, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Moses is telling the Israelites, you know, I was sick a month ago and I still have this cough. It just won't go away. Moses is telling the Israelites as they enter the promised land that they have a choice between the road that leads to death and a road that leads to life. And he implores them to choose wisely because he knows in the past they haven't always made the best choices. Now, if we as humans had no free will, would those have been Moses' last words of advice? No. Moses' commands tell us that we have choices in this world, and that God is neither a micromanager nor uninterested in our behaviors. The truth is instead somewhere in between. And because we believe in a loving God who will always work to bring forth healing from hurt, we always want to share words of comfort when bad things happen in this world. But we need to be cautious. We must not implicate God as wanting any of us to suffer. That is not God's nature. A story I shared some years ago about Leslie, from Leslie Weatherhead. For a time in the early 1900s, he was a missionary in India. And a young Indian man had a daughter who had just died from cholera, which was spreading fiercely in those years. The young man told Weatherhead it must have been the will of God. And Weatherhead stopped him in his tracks and said, "John, what would you think if someone had snuck into your house at night and held a cholera germ-covered cloth over your daughter's mouth?" And the man became indignant and said, "Such a man would be a monster." And Weatherhead replied, "But John, that's exactly what you're accusing God of doing." Sickness is one example of suffering. It comes to us because we are human. Our bodies are human. Sometimes they're strong, sometimes they're frail. Many times random things happen, which can be very little comfort. But think about how much we hurt when someone we love is sick. How much more does God grieve over sickness? How much more does God grieve over our hurts? God does not send us sickness, but surrounds us with God's Spirit in a community of faith, a community that Mr. Kevin was talking about at the children's moment. That community can sustain us during difficult times. Now, this is tough stuff. We've long said in this congregation that you don't need to check your intellect at the door when you walk into the sanctuary. But there are many churches where you don't think. You don't have to think or wrestle with the profundities of faith. They simply say, "Here's what we believe. Accept it because it's the truth. I say so." And in this complex world, there are far too many people looking for simplicity, for certainty. They want to think that a given theology is complete and in control when the rest of the world seems out of whack. But that kind of theology is rarely either effective, correct, or lasting. If we are to truly offer hope to those around us who are hurting and need to make sense of a world that doesn't offer a lot of help in that regard, we need to examine our own faith regularly and not oversimplify our beliefs. We need to be able to say that, yeah, bad things can happen in the world, but that doesn't mean that God wanted them to happen. They happen. Now, Hamilton lists three reasons why everything happens for a reason doesn't work theologically. First, it sets aside our own personal responsibility for our actions. If we do something, it must have been the will of God, even if it hurt others. So if I'm texting and driving, and I cause an accident in which someone is hurt or dies, it just must have been their time. There's nothing that I will do that God has not already decided that I would do, and therefore I'm not really responsible for my actions, when we all know we are. Secondly, if everything happens for a reason, then everything that happens in the world, good, bad, indifferent, God has so ordered it. God is responsible for everything, including every horrible thing that happens in the world. Hamilton suggests that in this light of thinking, tragedies happen not in spite of God, but because of God. We could even say that God designs and preordains evil and suffering just so we or others can learn from them. Which leads us to the third theological problem with the phrase, "everything happens for a reason," which is fatalism. The philosophy that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. We are powerless to change anything. If God's already decided what's going to happen in this life, yeah, why do we bother doing anything at all? Well, the decisions made at last week's general conference should be an absolute sign that fatalism is a flawed philosophy. When we can't incarnate ourselves and work for love and equality and inclusion and justice for all God's children and all meaning all, they will indeed be manifest. It's taken decades of work, but our efforts, family, have finally borne fruit. This General Conference voted to lift an existing denominational funding ban on supporting LGBTQ ministries and affirming LGBTQ+ education. For example, that ban had prohibited funding, general church funding, for supporting suicide prevention for LGBTQ youth. This General Conference voted to strike down the 40-year ban on self-avowed practicing homosexual pastors. To paraphrase Bishop Karen Oliveto, the new language says a call from God is a call from God, no matter your sexual orientation or your gender identity. This General Conference voted to completely remove the phrase homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching from our social principles. This General Conference removed the seven deadly words from the Book of Discipline. Celibacy and singleness and fidelity in marriage are expected of clergy. And the reason that's important is because this language was inserted decades ago by the bishop who ordained me, and later in his life, he retracted that and expressed his remorse and regret. But he put it in there, got it in there, because it was a way of weeding out gay pastors. Because you couldn't get married, and then you had to be celibate, and, you know. So, just, you know. So that was intentionally designed. So its roots were in homophobia, and now it is gone. The social principles have been revised so that marriage can be defined as between a man and a woman or between two adults. So that paves the way, yeah, for marriage right here. It removes the penalties for clergy or congregations holding same-gender weddings. And finally, yeah. And it initiates a moratorium on all judicial proceedings concerning human sexuality. And for all of this, we say glory, glory, hallelujah. It's a great day to be a United Methodist. And yet, in the midst of our rejoicing, it's important to recognize and remember the great harm that has been done to our LGBTQ siblings over the past 40 years. And we need to grieve that reality. Folks like our own Lyle Loder, the first name on our AIDS memorial plaque, who had a profound call to ministry that was denied by the church because he was gay. So many who heard from the church that who God created them to be was incompatible with Christian teaching. Lord, have mercy on us and the harm that we have caused as a church, as a denomination, to so many of God's children. When Pastor Mark texted me on Wednesday morning at the ungodly hour of 7:30 in the morning, that's my idea of ungodly. For some of you, I know it's mid-morning, but that's okay. He texted to share that the vote to remove the ban against gay clergy had passed by a margin of 93% to 7%. At the end of his text, he said, thinking of all who were deeply harmed by this, like Dick Clemmer. Here's the clip of Mark and I remembering our beloved friend from our Red Ribbons documentary.
One of the names on that plaque is the Reverend Dick Clemmer. Dick was the pastor of the largest United Methodist Church in New Mexico, discovered he had AIDS. He was removed from his position. His orders were stripped. So he came out here to Hollywood. In 1990, I gave birth to my first son. Dick was very sick at the time. I wanted to baptize my son here in this church where I'd been married. So that September 1990, Dick Clemmer baptized my son James. It was the last baptism or sacrament he ever performed before his own death. And we held vigil at the hospital for him night and day. At the end, we held hands, we sang around his bedside, and we sent him into glory because we know where he is.
I remember leaving that room heartbroken for that man, that precious man who deserved better.
As the psalmist writes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Family, our night has been 40 long years, with Dick Clemmer being just one of the casualties over those decades. And why? Why did it take the 40 years? Because we, as a denomination, did not choose the road that leads to life. We chose the one that leads to death. Moses said, "Choose life so that you and your descendants may live." Today, we can say that we have made the choice to live as a denomination. Following Wednesday's vote, Bishop Cedric, our friend, posted in part, "May our behaviors, policies, and structures reflect the actions taken today. We have an opportunity to use this momentum to also vehemently stamp out racism in every arena. We can do this and so much more if we live and love as we." Not everything happens for a reason, but we can mitigate our personal, our collective suffering when we choose life so that we and our descendants may live, and also when we let our light shine for justice, inclusion, and love. Amen. It was on the night he was betrayed that disciples in the upper room, and it was there around the table that Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and said to his disciples, "Take and eat, all of you, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and drink, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will, in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be your hands and feet in this broken and hurting world. For all of the ways in which you bless us, we give you thanks and praise in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we pray now the prayer that your son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is an option for a gluten-free cracker, which will be brought over here by some of the ushers in a moment. So you have that option. We also have little cups of grape juice if you do not wish to receive by intinction, which is dipping into the main cup. And the table of the Lord is open to everyone. In the United Methodist Church, the table of the Lord is welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. The table is set, and we're all invited. Day to be a United Methodist. Amen?
Amen?
It is a great day, and we are so humbled by the actions of the Spirit that have brought this to fruition finally after 40 years. So we are simply giving thanks for everything. So let our light shine this day. Let our light shine as Methodists, knowing that indeed we choose life so that we and our descendants may live. Go forth this day knowing that God loves you, knowing that God cares for you, and knowing that God does not bring suffering or wish suffering on anyone, but rather God grieves. Go forth now to serve others so that we might indeed choose life. Go forth in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.